It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast. From Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Yes, I'm here.
You are here. You made it here.
I made it
from your desk
to this room.
This room to record this podcast. Uh-huh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're such a millennial. Do you want a participation trophy?
I do. I want one. Did you bring one?
I didn't bring one.
Well, I have trophies for acting, so I feel that I should get trophies.
I have a trophy for acting too.
Being on this podcast.
Joining us this week is Cut 4's resident nihilist and existentialist. Ben Kosman. Ben, thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here. I'm excited.
Does it matter to you that you're here?
No, but...
I'm glad to hear that it
does. Constitutionally, I have to say no, but...
Uh-huh. But it does.
But
secretly.
I
deep down.
Yeah.
Maybe,
it matters.
Maybe some.
Even
I get some meaningless joy from
really
it.
It really does, yeah. That's
remember, the whole point of nihilism is that nothing matters, and therefore you're free to live your life.
Right.
Exactly.
It's freeing. Rather than hampering you down and being sad about it, it's like, well, nothing matters. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So it's really a positive when you think about it like
it's
that.
Emotional anarchy.
Well, we have a lot to get to today. I mean, too much, frankly.
Just, I don't know how we're going to fit it all into the podcast.
This podcast is going to be like 55 hours long, and it's going to be an epic.
Yeah, so you're going to have to go to MoMA just to listen to it, because it's basically a durational performance art piece.
Oh, wow.
Essentially, yeah. Jay-Z will appear.
Marina Abramovic, Kanye, they're all, everyone's going to
be
there.
Yeah. So here's what we'll be talking about.
I can't wait for this podcast.
I know, a lot of special guests. Yeah. We're going to discuss some of our unpopular baseball opinions. Some hot takes may be dished in that discussion. We'll share which non-patriotic songs we think should be sung before the game. Sort of an anthem, if you will. And then we'll also discuss which piece of baseball equipment is the least essential of all. And we will not accept baseball as a choice. Literally the name of the game. So if you say that,
fair.
You'll be kicked out of the podcast. But before we get to all of that, it's really important that we do our tradition of the Cut Forecast pop quiz. Now, this one is super easy. So whoever says the answer first gets to go last when we sum up the podcast into 140 characters, all right? So I will be the final judge of who got it right. If you get it wrong, well, you should just be ashamed of yourself. And if you're listening at home, you should tweet at both of them, yell at them if they got it wrong.
It's true.
All right, here we go. This Sunday, the Cubs' Jake Arrieta wore a onesie to his post-game interview. What was on it?
Mustaches.
Gemma's correct.
She got it right,
didn't even answer. Phone that one in. So, Gemma, you get to go last.
Yes.
Ben, you'll
finally
have to go first.
I have succeeded.
I get to go in the middle.
That's fine. That's fine.
You did. You finally succeeded on a post that we edited yesterday. So congrats to that. I guess Sunday night.
I don't like being pitted against Gemma, but that's fine.
I know. I like when we were on a team together. Yeah. That was nice.
I'm sorry to make you feel uncomfortable like that, but alas, those are the arbitrary rules that I established. But that brings up an important question, which actually comes to us from a reader. Lauren McCarter, Twitter user, at LMA. Let me try this again. It's hard to read screen names.
It is.
At L Maxi. Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Like
Lauren, we're going to call you Lauren because that's what your
that's
name
your
was.
Name.
So thank you, Lauren, for sending in this
Still
tweet.
Still is your name.
Was.
Still
it was
your
name before you changed it to L Maxi, which I believe moving forward we're all known by our Twitter.
Yeah.
By our Twitter handles.
Thank
thankfully.
God.
Thankfully, mine is.
But we can only shout yours because yours is all caps.
Yeah. Forgot that yours is all caps. But here's the question that came from Lauren. What would be on your onesie pajamas? Let's say you had a baseball achievement and you wore a onesie to the postgame presser. What would be on it? Why? Maybe how do you think that would help you build your relationship with Cubs manager Joe Maddon? What do you think? Gemma, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm probably saying this because I'm hungry. But also, I like cake a lot and pie, as you know. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to have some kind of dessert-themed onesie.
Okay.
Like maybe just alternating cake and pie and like ice cream cones.
Yeah.
I think that would be nice.
That is good.
Yeah.
I like that. Dessert-themed.
Dessert-themed.
Do you think Joe Maddon would approve of that?
I think Joe Madden would approve of it.
Yeah.
Maybe I could just do glasses, because I wear glasses, Joe Madden wears glasses.
That's a good one.
That's what it's
going to
be.
That would be a good one.
It's just going to be covered in glasses.
Okay. Yes. Just different kinds or all
just,
the same?
Just different kinds. Okay. Yeah. Monocles, lorgnettes, everything. Anything that you can hold up to your eyes to help you see.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. All right, Ben, what do you got?
See, I also went the food route, but I went a little different. I said I want a onesie made of Velcro that I could adhere snack foods to eat off my onesie.
See, I assumed when you said Velcro that you were going more the route of like that carnival game where you wear the Velcro suit and leap into a wall and have to stick
That wouldn't be bad. I mean, it's a versatile suit.
Yeah, but I like yours. That's really smart.
I can adhere, you know.
Instead of having like 100 pockets on the onesie, you could just have Velcro. But then you have to put Velcro on all your food.
That's fine. I can do that.
It's as long as it's removable.
I'm just imagining like you putting a strip of Velcro on a chicken and like sticking the chicken here.
A live chicken?
No.
A live
cooked one. Cooked chicken.
Yeah, I was thinking more like chips.
Chips. Yeah, that's
bags of chips.
Yeah. Tortilla chips, your favorite thing.
Drinks. Yeah.
Various cookies.
Okay, well, I could do meatloaf. Thinking so on such a small scale when really you could just Velcro an entire Thanksgiving dinner to your onesie.
That sounds great, actually.
Does the Velcro interfere with the, will that make the chicken bad? Can I eat Velcro?
Don't eat the part of the chicken to which the Velcro is stuck.
I guess that's true. Also can be flammable under the
really?
Terms. Yes. If it's in a purely oxygenated environment.
What do you do with your time when you're not here?
Excuse me, I just know all of this. Thank you very
much. Velcro
I'm full
on
of
fire.
Many facts.
Well, what is on your onesie, Dakota?
Well, my onesie would be rocket ships, probably.
Aww.
Classic.
I was always a
That's
space
cute.
Fan as a child. Went to space camp twice.
I only went once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I basically astronaut is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, it would be rockets, probably. You know, various kinds. Saturn V would be on there, certainly.
Oh, not like
space
little cartoon
shuttle.
Rockets, but
there would
real
also be
rockets?
Cartoon rockets.
Okay.
Yeah, just all of the above.
That's good.
Celebration of rockets on my pajamas.
I think that's a great onesie. It's really adorable.
Thank you. All right, well, now that we've tackled that important issue. Uh-huh. Yeah, the Velcro one is certainly the most useful.
Yeah, I think so.
But now that we've tackled that important issue, let's get into the less important stuff. So this first question, we talk about this all the time. I mean, literally all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't even find time to do work because all we're doing is just time.
It's true.
What is your unpopular baseball opinion? Perhaps you hate grass. You would like baseball to be played on turf. Perhaps you think baseball fits better in the winter. Perhaps you, I don't know. It's now time for you to share your ideas.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, no,
should
no,
I go first?
I did went first Ben. For the onesie, so you should go first.
Yeah,
all right, I'll go first. I was thinking, it's funny, I was thinking when you introduced the podcast that really a lot of our opinions are unpopular, probably, in one form or another.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But for the context of this question, I'm going to say my unpopular opinion is I don't believe you should root for one team over a long period of time.
What do you mean?
So it doesn't make sense to me for someone to be a fan of, say, the same team from 2005 to 2015. I mean, these teams have changed so much. There's so much player turnover. You know, a team can be sort of have one sort of mentality in 1 year, 3 years later have a different mentality. I think about the Red Sox a lot.
Okay.
When you think of 2004, the Red Sox team, you know, and then you look in 2013, how many players were left over? There was Ortiz.
That was it.
Ortiz was the only one left over, right? So why are you rooting for this team? I get the whole community location argument, I guess. I'm not convinced by it.
Yeah, well, you are a Twins fan from Rochester, New York.
So. Yes. Fan in quotes here.
But would you consider, so you don't really consider the team, like the Twins, to be a team that you are just consistently loyal to?
No. I don't have any loyalty to the Twins. I'm loyal.
You're loyal to like Joe Mauer.
Yeah, I like Joe Mauer. I like Morneau. I'm still a Morneau fan, even though he's no longer a Twin.
So you're essentially advocating the Drake system of fandom for sports, right?
Yeah, not so much bandwagon, but you pick, you know, you're a fan of players for a specific reason because you like the way they play the game, you like their style, they're really cool,
etc. But I don't think that's mutually exclusive from cheering for the team that you've always cheered for.
I don't think so, but I think a lot of times a team will become, will sort of be a different team.
But that's the whole point of being a fan, is that you're with them no matter what.
But that does, that seems illogical to me.
Okay, to me it's like, this is, I can't remember who said, came up with this idea in the first place. I heard it on Radiolab, that's all I remember
of
about
course.
It, is that this guy's talking about...
Shout out to Jed.
What's up, Jed and Robert? I know you listen to this podcast.
Big shout out to Jed and Robert.
So one of their contributors was talking about how the like, thinking about what happens when bodies of anything disperse, like... Say, because we're theater majors, everyone does a play together, right? The play is a thing.
I remember this episode of Radio
Lab. Yes, and then the play ends, and everyone goes their separate ways. But the play still, like, existed in that form, and all those individuals were part of one body for a minute. And, like, the cells in our human bodies, they all contribute to make this one human organism that moves around. But eventually those cells die, and new cells take their places.
Right.
But it's still the same body. Like, my body is still, I'm still me, even though very few of the, like, surface skin cells or whatever that I had when I was seven are still what I have now. So, for me, team loyalty is like that. It's like that exchange, you know? That... The team itself is still the body, even if the parts are changing.
But that doesn't—that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Really?
But it has history. Like, as an organism, so, it has history. Like, it has experiences. If you think of it
team,
as one person,
I don't think
like a team that has won many World Series may not have won them all with the same collection of players, but that organization as a whole is like one organism who has done that in its life.
Sure, you could be a fan of team like the 2004 Red Sox that won the World Series, but I don't think that, I don't think team loyalty should be unconditional.
So, okay. I mean, I get that. Mm-hmm. Just my point is, I'm more along the lines of what Jem is saying, which is that essentially you're cheering for the thing that just continues on.
The idea,
and it's
the,
easy,
the
yeah.
concept. And the,
but what if the idea is changed? What if the idea and the sort of,
well,
I,
all
I,
ideas
I can,
change.
I can get
always,
that too.
You change. You're a different person now than you were probably 10 years ago.
Sure. Well, and so maybe someone liked me. So what if someone hated me in high school? They might like me now.
That's a good
sure,
that's a
I
good
get
point.
That. And I
but
think,
like, your parents probably have liked you this entire time, hopefully.
Maybe. They loved me unconditionally the way parents do.
Right.
They might not have liked me as a 15-year-old.
But see, that's the thing, though, is that, like...
Well, should you love your team unconditionally
yeah,
as parents do, even though sometimes you don't always like them and hope they'll grow out of this terrible phase?
You could okay, yeah, sure. You could say, oh, I really hope this team gets out of this phase
yeah.
quickly because I don't like rooting for them. But if you don't like rooting for a team, why should you root for them? The team doesn't, I mean...
Well, the argument would be...
Yeah, the team can't love you back.
I would argue the team can love you back. But no, the idea is that you've given yourself over to this greater purpose of being a fan of that team. And it's easy to sort of track that through because they wear the jerseys, they have the name, they play in the same stadium, and so there are these constants that keep the... Or they may move stadiums.
No. I just think you said it's easy. And I think that's my point, is that this sort of fandom is lazy. I think there's better ways to be a fan than to just root for a team.
The thing is, I do agree with you about liking individual players, and I feel...
No, I agree with that.
You know, since being a child, like, my baseball fandom has really grown just because players that you know as a kid, they very frequently are not playing for your team when you're an adult, but they might be somewhere else. They might be managing. They might be, like, on staff somewhere. And then I root for that team because I liked that player, and then I learned things about that team. And then, like,
even
players on
that
team, and it expands beyond that.
Yeah, so. Even beyond that. Like, I consider myself a Red Sox fan. Apparently,
right.
I'm lazy, according to Ben's definition. But I also like Andrew McCutchen. I like Yasiel Puig. I like all these players. I think those don't have to be mutually exclusive. And if perhaps the Red Sox are in a leaner time, as they are right now, I can invest more of my attention into those other players and teams I like to follow. That doesn't mean I'm not a Red Sox fan anymore. It just means that I am a baseball fan or a sports fan, and I enjoy all these many things. I have attention that I can give to all. Attention and love to everything.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have to tune out of one to tune into the other.
I don't discount that. But my... So this is... I'll use the Red Sox as an example. 2004, the Red Sox were very sort of gritty, were the Red Sox anti and sort of Yankee rivalry, that whole thing, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get in the next, you know, 5 years, the Red Sox start signing these big player signings. They sort of, they become a little bit of the Yankees that the 2004 Red Sox were very much against.
Yeah.
So why are you rooting for a team that has essentially become the very team you disliked. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me.
I like the way that you say all that very sensitively toward me.
This is a direct challenge to you, though, Dakota.
The Red Sox are just the most obvious example.
No, I get that. And just the defense of it is essentially that the thing that you like, the core of what you like about that team, is more than just one facet of them. And so with the Red Sox, I feel like most Red Sox fans were not fans of the lovable losers. They were fans of all of it. They were fans of the players. They were fans of Pedro. They were fans of Nomar. Nomar leaves. Pedro leaves. They're still fans of the team. They're fans of the culture that you're within, the other fans alongside you. It's all of those memories you have when you're younger, and you feel all of that story is continuous and connected through time. So for me now, like, the 2013 Red Sox are a very different team from the 2007 Red Sox, very different team from the 2004 Red Sox, but all of them, by virtue of being the Red Sox, are connected and are this same thing. And so because of the way I followed them, because of the fact that I've cheered for them all this time, like, it all forms an identity unto itself just by being, right? Like, just because it happened, because they were wearing the jerseys, it's the same. And it's the same team that it's always been. And so, yeah, they're more like the Yankees in certain aspects, in certain respects. And maybe, like, you have to accept that now as a fan, that, you know, one of the things that you sort of were identifying yourself as a Red Sox fan has now changed and shifted, and now you're, you know, no different than the rest of them, and that's fine. But just like in life, your identity changes on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, and things that you felt were core values of yourself sometimes change. And that's okay. That's life. That's what it is to be human. And I feel like that's what it is to be a fan as well.
Yeah, that's very eloquently put. I agree with that. I just think, I don't necessarily think you should do that. I don't think you should have to sort it. I don't think you should have to rationalize your fandom.
I agree. But I'm only doing that now because we're trying to put words to it. And right. I feel like, you know, when I sit at home and I put on the Red Sox, I'm not thinking about all of that. I'm simply thinking about, you know, I like this team. I like watching them. I like that guy. And I'm going to continue to do that. And, you know, when they bring in a new player, even if it's somebody I don't want or somebody who I think is not great, like, eventually you sort of, your mind works its way around to be like, he's great. He's mine. He's now. I love him. And, like, that sort of happens subconsciously. I don't think anybody's intentionally trying to rationalize their own fandom. That would be the theory that I would put onto it.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Okay. We've spent a lot of time on this.
I remain unconvinced.
This is very contentious.
I like this, though. I feel like it was a good conversation. And
I agree.
We learned a lot about how we all separately watch and enjoy baseball.
Yeah. Well, speaking of we all, Gemma, I want to hear your unpopular opinion.
I have a really hard time coming up with this. Not because I think I'm so popular and all my opinions are so great. Because I will say that probably my most unpopular opinion ever I expressed on this podcast, where I said that I would like to see Kanye West play baseball.
That's true. I said the same thing.
That was deeply unpopular.
Like, people are not pleased
so,
with that.
So, Kanye, ride or die for Kanye. And
yes, 2020 Kanye, president.
2020,
candidate.
I'm in it. Volunteering door-to-door will canvas for Kanye.
Obviously.
I don't know. I've also said on this podcast that I feel like I don't think that jerseys are acceptable wear for adults. However, you do you. I'm not going to wear jerseys. I don't care what you all do.
clearly you do care.
I care, but it's like, I wouldn't care enough to forbid anyone from doing this were I the benevolent dictator of the world. I wouldn't. Whatever. maybe my other unpopular opinion is that I think that hot dogs are a situational food and should only be eaten at ballparks and not outside.
That's wrong.
That is insane.
I'm slightly with you on the jerseys thing. Mm-hmm. Hot dogs.
What about at a cookout?
That's fine too, I guess. Cookouts, ballparks, nothing else.
Seems like a
slippery slope.
What about
from a street cart in New York? What about a deconstructed hot dog?
Definitely
by
not.
Wiley
definitely.
Dufresne?
What about bologna?
Bologna is terrible, and
I
no
hate
one
bologna,
should eat bologna.
So I'm not
bologna is just a hot dog sliced up really thinly.
You've blown my mind, but
right.
I'm still not into bologna.
I'm still not into bologna. I also really am I'm not that into hot dogs, but I do like them at baseball games.
Hot dogs are great.
Hot dogs are great all the time.
Yeah, they're an every time food.
They are an every time
food. See, this is my unpopular
opinion.
They're right
now.
I don't really
food.
Think so.
I would like a hot dog right now.
Nah.
Are we at a baseball game? No. We're
so then no.
Room.
Then no hot dog for me. You, again, do what you want. I maybe would.
Again, you can't simultaneously be like,
no hot dogs ever, but also do what you want.
I think, though, that I would forbid it as benevolent dictator of the world. I would say that you can only serve hot dogs at ballparks and barbecues.
That's not so benevolent of you.
Yeah, you're a malevolent dictator.
Oh, only in that one respect.
Whatever. Hot dogs are delicious.
You'll just have to go to more baseball games to eat more hot dogs. Here's what I'm going to do. How great is that?
I'm going to wear my David Ortiz jersey while eating a hot dog, not at a base. I'll come over to your apartment and I will do that.
That's so rude.
Yeah,
that you would wear a David Ortiz jersey too.
That's the even better part.
Well, what's your unpopular opinion?
My unpopular opinion, so I have a couple, and I'll build to the hottest take.
I'm great. So excited.
The first one, which we've talked about before, is that I feel like the way the DH is right now makes me happy. I don't want to see the DH in both. I don't want to see no DH. I like that you can see the DH in the AL and not see it in the NL.
I'm on that side.
I think that's cool. And I feel like a lot of people are like militantly one side or the other. Hey, man, let's just chill. It's pretty cool.
I agree with you.
It's fine.
It's worked for like 40 years. Yeah. Let's keep it the way it is.
I agree with you. This is America. We can have all kinds of choices.
This is America. This is America. Right. It's all about freedom of choice.
Uh-huh.
The other one is I like pitching in defense more than offense.
Oh, yeah.
I've also said that on this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like that's not that unpopular.
No, I think you probably have a 50-50 split there.
Yeah. I mean, which is ironic considering we were all reared during the 90s and all the home runs and everything. So.
Yeah.
Odd. Here's another one. I would like baseball games to be longer.
Whoa. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I like to go and do something. I like the idea of, like, a baseball game taking up my day, and I like going and... You know, if I'm sitting at home watching it, I like it sort of to be brisk or 3 or 4 hours. But even if it's longer than that, I like having it on in the background while I'm doing other stuff, and I can sort of look up and see it. But if I'm going out, I like going and being there. If it's a day game, I like just sort of being outside and being with my friends and talking and watching the game. The longer, like, I like baseball. Mm-hmm. More baseball, thus, is good. I don't care if it takes forever. I don't care. I'm happy. I would like it to be long. What's the best thing that happens is when a baseball game goes like 27 innings. Everybody loves that, right?
True.
So, longer games.
Especially the bullpen. They love that.
The bullpen, that's their favorite.
The bullpen full of pitchers. They love 27 inning games.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
They do. What about doubleheaders? What if there were just more doubleheaders?
Doubleheaders would be great. Right. I would love that. And just more baseball all the time and longer baseball. Just more time spent in a baseball stadium is really what I'm agitating.
I like that.
For.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I necessarily want a game to be like 6 hours long, but I like hanging out at stadium.
6 hours, that's short.
More hot dogs.
I'm happy. Yeah, more opportunity for hot dogs in the Kingdom of Gemma.
In the only place where you can consume hot dogs in the Kingdom
of Gemma. But that wasn't my fire take.
What's this the fire take?
Fire take?
I'm ready.
Keeping score in the stadium is dumb.
Like, if I brought a scorecard... You would be annoyed if I was sitting next to you.
I would be annoyed. I think that's dumb.
That is a very hot take. Why do you have a problem with fans recording the score?
Why are you recording the score?
I mean, because you enjoy tabulating things like that for yourself? Because it makes you feel more connected to the game?
Really? Not looking at the game and looking at a sheet of paper makes you
it's
feel
not
more
like
connected
you,
to the game?
I mean, how are you going to keep score if you're not watching the game? It's not like you're holding it in front of your face like...
I understand why the broadcasters keep score. I understand why people in the dugout keep score. I feel like fans sitting in row J, why are you keeping score?
Maybe they want a souvenir and a record of where they were.
It's an interactive souvenir.
You were there. You were there. You can go watch the game. You can go home, log on to MLB.TV, and watch the game again.
But isn't it kind of like a nice... analog relic of a time where you couldn't just go on BREF whenever and be like, what was the box score from this game 45 years ago? Like, you
want to
grab it.
The Ford Model T is charming. You know? I don't want to drive it to the supermarket.
Well, you're not. I mean, it's not like people who keep score are just, like, constantly doing nothing else.
but it interferes. Like, I can't have a conversation and keep score.
Well, maybe you should learn to multitask.
Because like if you missed what happened, you have to wait and you have to write down the ruling.
Or you can say,
happened.
Oh, Ben and I were watching the game together. I'm keeping score. Oh, Ben, what just happened?
Yeah. I don't know because we were just discussing whether or not you should be a fan of a team for
it. It's true. I mean,
you turn around and go like, guy yelling behind me.
Of baseball games are the full ones, the ones where it's not just what happened on the field, it's what happened on the field and what happened with the people you were with. Like,
yeah.
You know, I talk all the time about when I was at that ALCS game where David Ortiz hit the game-tying grand slam against your Detroit Tigers in the postseason.
Nope, we're done talking.
But, like, I remember that play. I remember a lot about it. That's I also remember thing. Being there with my friend and talking about it and talking about, like, oh my gosh, we're being no hit. Oh my gosh, what if David Ortiz hits a grand slam right here?
This is another thing. Oh my God. Point like, of favor for Ben is that team loyalty is fracturing our friendship right now.
Yeah.
Great point. But yeah, I just don't keep score. Keep friendships.
That's good. That's good.
You remember that phrase because that's your tweet.
Yeah. I'm torn because I've never had an interest in keeping score myself, but I necessarily don't really care if anyone does it.
Well, it's fine if other people do it. Like, I don't, like, I'm not going to sit there and watch somebody else do it.
Oh, is it fine if other people do it? It's okay to say that other people can do whatever they want?
Well, yeah, but, like, my point is that it's dumb. Like, I just think it's a dumb thing to do. You can do what you want. If I were the benevolent dictator of the world, I would say you can keep score. I think that it's dumb, but do it, by all means. I'll
agree with that.
You can go look it up on MLB.com. You can see the score right there. You can print it out, and there you go. You have it right there. You can pull out your iPhone. There are a million ways to look at the score of the game. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's move on to this next topic, which probably will be less contentious, I would imagine.
Will it be?
Maybe.
In England, sorry, Ben, we're going to talk soccer for a second.
Oh, that's okay. I assume so.
I am a Liverpool fan, and one of Liverpool's grand traditions is before every game, the fans will sing You'll Never Walk Alone. They perform the Jerry and the Pacemakers version. And it's really great. It's exciting. They're a band from Liverpool. It's an old show tune. And it's awesome. And it's, like, haunting to hear thousands of fans singing You'll Never Walk Alone together in unison. It's great. I love it. And I think that MLB needs to adopt fan sing-alongs more. Fan anthems. These kinds of things are one of the great aspects of going to a sports game. And for example, the Red Sox, you can go hear Sweet Caroline in the eighth inning. The Mets, we noted, are doing it this year with Piano Man. The Giants sometimes do it with lights, or I think they do Don't Stop Believin'.
A lot of teams have done it. Yeah. Detroit doesn't do it as consistently.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that like everybody has to have their eighth inning rally song. And we were thinking, what would be a great pregame anthem rally song that like everyone gets together and sings pregame? Ben, you went first with our unpopular opinions.
I did.
We'll have you go first.
You don't want to go first?
I can go first. I have like a million options. So.
You've never gone first. I feel like you should go first.
All right, I'll go first. So we'll start with the obvious one for me, which was the Red Sox share ownership with Liverpool. So they should sing You'll Never Walk Alone before the game. I think that would be
great. Yeah, but don't you want something that's like more Boston flavored?
There's plenty of singing that happens at Red Sox games. There's... In the eighth inning, there's Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Post game, there's Tessie and Dirty Water. So
and Dirty, and yeah,
there's
Dirty Water.
And then
people
there's
like often that awesome rally shipping up to Boston.
Yeah, people often say
that. I will say, seeing that rally music at Fenway is probably the most amped I've ever seen a crowd get.
Yeah, people get super pumped.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of singing that happens. Like they don't have to have You'll Never Walk Alone, but I think that would be some good corporate synergy with the Fenway Sports Group.
All right, let's just call John Henry.
Yeah, John Henry's, he's listening. So, yeah, John, make sure to make that happen.
John, Jad,
Other
Robert.
One I thought of is Bohemian Rhapsody before a Cubs game, because Wayne's World, as we know, takes place in Illinois.
Okay.
And it would be nice to sort of, everybody knows lyrics to Bohemian Rhapsody, easy to sing along beforehand. Some other songs I thought of, I didn't think of specific teams, but just general good songs to sing before a baseball game. Mm-hmm. Hey Jude. From the Beatles.
It's kind of mellow.
It is kind of mellow.
Yeah,
it's
but like
mellow.
When everybody gets, you know, the part, you know, na 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 na, like that's great.
I guess
when people do that together.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And it'd be good before a game. I don't know. Daydream Believer by the Monkees.
That's just cute. It's fun to sing.
Yeah, it's a fun song to sing.
Yeah.
People like it. And
I feel
it's good before a game.
I feel like
game.
The Giants would sing that. That seems like a Giants
kind of
song.
Giantsy. Could be Giantsy.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Could be Redsy.
Could be Redsy. Yeah.
Billy's-y.
I'm trying to think of like a team
Angels
that I think
with
of as
the
peppy.
Rally monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Angels.
Oh, that's good.
That'd be
that's
good.
Smart. Yeah.
I also singing with the Beatles theme, Obla Di Obla Da. I feel like that'd be great with a big crowd.
I feel like this is an unpopular opinion. I feel like Obla Di Obla Da is not that popular of a Beatles song.
Okay, but it doesn't have to be a popular song. It just needs to be a song that people can sing along to.
Yeah, all right.
And you know, Obla Di Obla Da, life goes on. Whoa. La 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 la, life goes on. pretty easy to learn the words. Yeah. So even if you don't know, mm-hmm. you know it there. And then the last one, which I think is the best one on here, mm-hmm. and frankly, I think it sticks with the sort of building aspect of You'll Never Walk Alone, mm-hmm. which I think is key to a pre-game anthem, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I would like to see that.
I would like Detroit to do it personally. That's my opinion, is I think the Tigers should do
it. Why should the Tigers do it? I
just want to hear Comerica sing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Like that.
There's a great music tradition in Detroit, and I just think that frankly, any team should sing Total Eclipse of the Heart. Giants
every
would also
team.
Work.
Every team.
There you go.
Every team.
Every team should sing. Every fan base, players,
Blue Jays,
managers,
I'm interested
owners,
in that.
Everyone should sing Total Eclipse of the Heart before
yes.
the game.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very dramatic.
Yeah.
Set the stage.
Yes.
You could have, you know, dry ice and fog. All right, Gemma, what are you
You just want Comerica to reenact the video of Total Eclipse.
Yeah,
of the
essentially,
Heart.
Yeah. Okay. Like just the great. Whole video. You could have Miggy like standing at the top of a staircase.
Birds flying
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be really good.
All right, what do you got?
Well, as you said, Detroit has a very rich music tradition, and I feel that Comerica does not take enough advantage of that. Mm-hmm. We have Motown, which is some of the most sing-alongable music that there is.
It's true.
You know, so I feel like a Motown anthem would be nice. Maybe some Marvin Gaye. I chose specifically The Temptations' Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
That's a good one.
Because I think it's a really fun song to sing. You can do the Temptations Shuffle. You can dance. Like, pretty much any Temptations song would work for this.
So I thought Motown. My concern uh-huh. with Motown is some of those songs are pretty hard to sing.
What are you talking about?
Well, just... singing is hard in general, and just there's a lot of words, there's a lot of syncopated rhythms, and
but
I feel like that's tough
like,
for
know,
a crowd.
That could be true. Well, see, that's the other thing is I was like, okay, well, what ideally would I like, would amuse me to have a Detroit crowd all sing along to? I was like, it can't be Lose Yourself.
That seems like the natural.
It's so hard. It would be really hard for a huge group of people to effectively rap together. So, like, basically disqualifies...
Possibly.
I mean, mae you could do Slum Village Song, because that's slower. A little
here's
slower.
What I would. Here's what yeah. I will say in support of Lose Yourself, is that mm-hmm. it's so baked into the DNA of everyone in Detroit that they just sort of will perform it in unison. There's the hive,
it could
the
just,
Detroit
well,
hive mind.
Will. I also like it because it is about overcoming your own fear to succeed.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
You can lose yourself in the game. Anyway, I think it would actually be kind of disastrous to see a lot of people try to do that song in unison, but also fun.
It'd be fun. And then you could have different, like, things that happen in the stadium that, mm-hmm. like, are related to that. So it could be, like, a spaghetti stand, you know, mom spaghetti. That could be what that maybe
oh,
could be what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, okay. That's
yeah.
cute.
Well, all right.
That's kind of cute. Kind
no,
of...
I'm sensing some pushback on that one, some resistance from you guys.
Spaghetti?
Yeah. Did you not know the song?
No, I know, but spaghetti at the ballpark?
Yeah, spaghetti's delicious.
Spaghetti is the worst pasta. Just
okay, that's,
okay.
That's the
we're,
next week's
we're
episode
done talking
of the Cup
about unpopular opinions,
because that
man,
is crazy.
Because, you know what? Wait, I'm going to... You know what?
The worst pasta?
Maybe I agree with you.
Yeah.
No, it's not the worst.
Wait. It's the worst
oh,
pasta.
No.
Angel hair is worse.
That's
angel
a type of spaghetti.
Great.
No, angel hair...
And it's
no.
better than pot spaghetti because it's thinner.
No, that makes it worse.
No, disagreed.
Okay, this I'm too angry to even.
Okay. Anyway, I have other songs.
Yeah. What else do you have?
I also thought about Chicago movies that I really like, and I really like the Blues Brothers. Full of great music.
That's
so
a
I
good
feel
one.
Like anything that could be sung in before, like a game at Wrigley, like Minnie the Moocher. That's a fun song,
oh,
and people
yeah.
like to sing along to that too. Mm-hmm. Could sing Respect. If you wanted to,
that'd be tough
Aretha's in it.
Crowd,
yeah, it, that's also anything that requires like vocal feats, which is why I also think Total Eclipse of the Heart might be a little difficult. Because it's sort of hard to actually perform.
But it's a perfect song.
It is a perfect song.
Figure it out.
I do agree with you. I do agree that it is a perfect song. I just think that any Salt and Pepper song should be sung before
yes.
most games.
Yeah.
What a man. Good. All good. But something I'm surprised that you, Dakota, did
what?
Not bring up is that I don't know why Marlins fans don't sing Pitbull songs
that
before games.
Yeah,
that is
question.
A fantastic question.
Yeah. Any and all Pitbull songs.
Well, I don't
all
understand Pitbulls. Why Pitbull isn't there at every
game. Every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should, like, he
every has, first pitch.
Every first pitch.
Billy the Marlin, they should just hang out together.
Yeah. Perform songs together.
Yeah. He should be a mascot. There should be a Pitbull mascot in Miami.
There should be that.
Why
Miami,
is there not?
Make it happen.
For real.
Yes. Those are my song options. That's what I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, what do you got?
I had trouble with this question, so mine are very obvious.
Okay.
I think every ball club ballpark should sing Twist and Shout before every game. Just my opinion.
Okay.
I think Twist and Shout is the perfect
pump-up
song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get very pumped when I see it.
You're pumped now.
I'm so excited. You're jumping up and down.
I think the Tigers should sing Eye of the Tiger.
That's a little too on the nose.
Yeah, these are all on the... I have two, and they're both on the nose.
That's a song that the Phillies should obviously sing, right?
No.
You know, I thought about that.
Because the Rocky thing, the Rocky thing is overplayed.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Philly, we get it, Philly. Rocky was in Philly. Cool.
They're a little over it. You can tell when you're there.
Yeah.
Like, they don't play Gonna Fly Now at Citizens Bank.
What should the Phillies sing before their games?
Well, they used to all sing High Hopes.
That's nice.
After the game. They can do that before the game.
That's all right.
And I think the Twins should sing the Double Mint Gum theme song.
That's adorable, and I agree wholeheartedly, and it needs to happen.
Okay.
No, I'm on board with that. I'm totally on board with that.
That was my one, yeah.
That's really good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's really good. That also is very soccer-y. That's the kind of thing that would happen at a soccer game.
Yeah, it is.
If, like, Twins played for the same team. You would hear that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to this last topic, because we are running out of time. And that topic is this. Which piece of baseball equipment?
Right, I forgot we had to talk about this.
Oh my god, I forgot we had to talk about this. Which piece of baseball equipment is the least essential? We'll just do this fast. Ben.
Hats.
What do you mean? Why?
I was looking at the rules the other day, and as far as I can tell, there's no rule that says players have to wear hats. And yet every player does wear a hat.
I'm sure that like the uniform rule is that you have to wear the same thing. Everybody has to wear the same thing.
It doesn't mention anything about head covering, though.
So you think that if a team as a whole decided we're not wearing caps, then they could not wear it, then they would be fine.
I mean, maybe according to the rules, but I also think players should be able to choose not to wear a hat if they want to. Like, there's no reason. I don't see a point for someone to be wearing a hat.
But the
helmets,
sun,
I get.
The sun.
The sun is not always there.
The sun
why do you,
is often
why do you
there.
Need it in a night game? Why do you have to wear hats in a night game?
That's a good question.
The lights.
I don't know if it's the same thing.
It's exactly this. How many times do you see a guy lose a ball in the lights?
That has happened.
Yeah, that's happened, but I don't think the hat's going to help. Clearly the hat's not helping.
Well, no, it does.
Losing the ball while he wears
it. No, because you can't prove a negative. You can't prove that all the balls that are caught are not somehow being helped by the hat.
That's why we need some players to not wear hats, so we can test this.
We need to do an independent
trial. Their fielding percentage plummets?
Then we'll
okay, let them wear hats.
Have that. Bring the hats back.
We can add a StatCast category of hat wearing.
Well, quick shout out to forecast listener at Pierre Luc. Flat brim or curved hat? Curved brim.
Curved hat.
Yeah, slightly curved.
Flat brim. All right, I'm done. That's it. That's the end of that. I mean, I like the flat brim.
Flat brim.
I liked watching the Little League World Series this weekend.
I like the flat brim.
All the hats were like basically triangles.
That's great.
Jem's breaking the studio.
I moved the armrest of my chair down by accident.
Now that you've broken the studio, why don't you tell us which piece of baseball equipment is least essential? You've demonstrated that the chair is least essential
to me.
To
I just
podcast.
Threw the chair on the floor.
But what piece of baseball equipment did you do with that?
Magnetic bracelets.
Is that even
a
thing?
That's certainly up for debate. There are many people who would claim that the magnetic bracelet helps with balance and coordination.
Nope.
You're saying that that's a no.
I'm saying that's a no.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
You know, would the dictator Gemma ban them from existence or?
Not from existence, just from baseball games.
Okay.
I like accessories. Effect? I like jewelry. I like chains. I think those are fun.
What about the placebo effect? Like, if a guy thinks that it will make him a better hitter, and it does, you're now saying to lose that, and that's a non-essential.
Have confidence in yourself, man.
Okay. Well, that's easier said than done. As many baseball players have learned.
I know. Superstition has a strong hold over baseball.
Me, I thought about this. I very nearly said pants, because you honestly don't need pants.
Oh, you know what I was
going to
say? Pockets.
But
disagree. Pockets are essential on every article of clothing.
That's true. Because like, if you are wearing
do you have in your pockets during a baseball game?
But it's not during
need?
The game. It's
notes?
Like
I don't know.
Before and after
your
the
wallet?
Game. Your
wallet?
You might have to have your
a
gloves.
Credit card?
How often do you see a guy stuff the batting gloves in his back pocket?
Yes,
as
I have seen
running?
That. Well, do you need batting gloves? Are those essential?
Yeah, for grip on the bat.
But
yeah,
some guys
so I was
going to
say
them.
No pants, and then I realized the pocket thing, and also if you slide, you don't want to slide without pants.
Yeah, that's.
That would not be good. And then I thought shirt, but kind of same deal. If you slide, that's no good. Socks. You don't need socks. What are the socks doing?
They look very good.
They look, if you wear them correctly.
Okay, I forgot the point where style was somehow a utility.
Style is a utility, yes. Obviously on the Cut Forecast. are we no, value style
I,
very
highly.
I
absolutely
highly.
Value style, but we're talking about essential. If you had to do without socks, you could still play nine innings
okay.
of baseball.
Have you?
You
your
could,
feet would get so sweaty.
But
though.
Your feet would get super sweaty. They would smell terrible. It also grip on
I
inside
fail
of your
to
shoes.
See- grip on the inside of
your
shoes.
I mean,
shoes.
I feel like
yeah.
if you try to, like, run around in sneakers without socks on, it's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, I don't like
we're
it.
Not,
it's unpleasant.
It's hygiene is not an issue. We're talking essential to your baseball playing ability.
Me, what I'm saying is it's gross enough that you would, like, not focus that. Because you'd be like, God, my feet. It's like when you have wet socks all day.
Yeah.
When your feet are wet in shoes, it's just gross. Yeah. And then it's harder to, like,
would you be more or less focused
do.
Without socks or pants?
Okay. If
you'd be less focused without pants.
Choosing one of those things.
Yeah, but you would be...
Because you'd be like... Oh,
you could wear your hat and like you would forget about it after an inning.
Without the hat?
Yeah.
Not if the sun's in your eyes.
The Get sun, your, I'm not worried about the sun
your weird
right
flippy
now.
Sunglasses.
But see, now you're adding another piece of
People
equipment.
Already have the flippy sunglasses.
But see, the beauty of the socks is that you're shedding weight without gaining anything else.
How would you feel if all baseball socks, all of them, were replaced with ankle socks?
I'd be okay with that. Well, this is probably an unpopular opinion.
Disgusting.
I don't actually have a strong opinion about like
disgusting.
Stirrups or socks or whatever. I don't have one. Yeah. But my thing is this. Like, if you're Billy Hamilton, every gram counts. Like, every little bit. Any, it's like a sports car. Any weight that you can shed makes that car go faster. It gives it more power. So why not try no socks? Because it's not like you're not going to be able to swing the bat without socks, right? And maybe that split second faster into second base on a slide.
I just really think that not having socks would hamper your ability to run.
Yeah, me too.
More so than not having a hat would hamper your ability to catch a fly ball.
Yes.
What about belts? You don't have a belt.
Yeah, I don't think you really need a belt. That's a good
yeah.
one.
Shouldn't
that's
players,
actually,
I mean, yeah.
Why are they like one size fits all pants?
Are they? I was like,
know.
Can't we get players' pants that fit without a belt? Is that a thing we can
like
do?
Tailored,
I second yeah. that call. Get players' pants that fit. Why do you need a belt?
That's a good one. Belt's a good one.
It is yeah. a really yeah. good one.
And I bet going through airport security, that's just a pain.
Yeah.
When you go
off.
Through in your full uniform.
Yeah.
When you just get
do they
out
not
of the plane?
Travel in full uniform?
As we saw, they obviously travel in onesies, Dakota. Come on.
I assume that they just always wear, it's like the cartoon character.
I'm pretty sure
there.
Chase Utley is constantly wearing his
that
uniform.
That is true. Chase
yeah.
Utley. Seems like a uniform guy. Derek Jeter, I bet, always wore his uniform.
Wearing it right now. Type in. Wearing,
yep.
this, wearing it
exactly.
right now.
No, he's retired, so it's like the floral print Yankee
right,
outfit.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
All right, let's move on to this last chunk here, which is the best part. Ben, you're going to have to go first with this. We're going to take everything that we've said today, and we are going to sum it up into 140 characters. One tweet that provides an accurate summary of this edition of the Cut 4 Cast. Ben, when you are ready, give us your 140 characters.
All right. I'm not going to count this, so I may get the red mark.
Put the pen down. Put the pen down.
Okay. At Comerica Park, in my onesie, singing Motown.
Okay.
Would retweet.
It's a good tweet.
Probably a couple of times.
Hashtag
tweet.
Not rooting for the Tigers or any team.
I am now not retweeting it. I take back my retweet. I clicked undo, so it showed up for a split second in your mentions.
Reported for spam.
Reported for spam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gemma, what do you got?
Doesn't Gemma go last?
Oh, no, I go. Yeah, I was going to say, you go last.
Ha ha.
All right, my tweet is hashtag make baseball games longer, comma. And don't keep score, keep your friends.
Nice. That's a good one.
That
was
a good one.
I would probably fave that.
Faved. I got faved.
Yeah, I guess I'd fave it. Maybe I quote it so I could comment on you making fun of the fact that I like to keep score.
I will do that. All right, well, it's your turn.
Okay.
What do you got?
Wear your Tigers onesie. At Tigers. Wear your At Tigers onesie and rap along to Eminem. Hashtag ban hot dogs.
No.
So fire hashtag.
Fire hashtag.
Yeah, I'm going to ban you.
but you have to.
I don't. This is the second podcast in a row that I've blocked you from my Twitter account.
I'm only doing hashtag ban hot dogs so to get rage clicks.
Like, yeah, that's
my position
will.
On that is actually
retweets with like get a look
yeah,
at this.
Yeah, like slightly. My position on that is actually slightly weaker, but I know that it will infuriate people enough that they will pay attention to it.
That was terrible. All right. Well, we are out of time, but I want to thank both of you for having this stimulating conversation with me, where I learned so much about how I can now hate both of you immensely for various new reasons. If you liked listening to this for some reason, even though these two people are crazy, you can go to mlb.com/cut4 and read more articles and blogs and look at all kinds of pictures and look at GIFs and videos and all sorts of stuff similar to this. You can experience all of that at mlb.com/cut4. Occasionally there will be some words too written by these two people.
Sometimes.
Don't
mostly,
hold your breath.
Mostly gifts.
Also go to facebook.com/cut4 and like us, and all of our content will show up there in your Facebook feed. You can follow us on Twitter @cut4. You can tweet other ideas of things you want to hear us talk about on the Cut4Cast by tweeting us @cut4 with the #cut4cast. While you're doing that, you can sum up this episode of the podcast in 140 characters. Let us know. We will retweet the best ones through our Twitter account to all of our great many followers and make you famous. That's how that works, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You'll get a book deal, all that kind of stuff. Also, do subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. While you're there, you can rate us with the 1 to 5 stars, probably 1 star.
This week, at least, because of our strong positions on teams and hot dogs.
Yeah, but while you're there, you can write a review. And if you write a review, we will read it on the Cut4Cast. We will make fun of your spelling and grammar. It'll be a great time for all of us. And you know what? Do us a favor, and if you liked the podcast, tell your friends. Tell your friends to listen, because we are a community here, and we always like sharing our thoughts with more of you and hearing more of your thoughts and bringing those to the Cut4Cast as well. So do tell your friends to take a moment and listen to the Cut4Cast. I think that's it. Gemma, thank you for always being here.
You are very welcome. My presence is a present.
Thank you.
In the words of Kanye West.
In honor of future president Kanye West, my presence is a present. Ben, thank you for being here.
Of course. Always a pleasure.
Does everything matter?
No.
Okay. Great. On that cheerful note, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.